message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. And those that don't know Jesus, what are they going to do? Thank God for Jesus. Let's know Him well and let's make Him known. Amen. It's a good day to get things right with God if you're not there. If you're watching and you're just wondering about this God thing, email us with your questions. We'd love to have a conversation with you and talk to you about it, but we believe that Jesus is the answer. We believe that Jesus is the name above all names, that there is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other answer. Jesus is not equal with the other little G-O-D-S. Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is the only way. He's the truth. We base all of that upon what God's Word says. Amen. We didn't write that. We embraced that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We're going to continue where we left off last week, give you just a little bit of catch-up review, and we're going to move on from there. But Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're doing mission possible. So if we're going to have mission possible, we're going to have some faith, because pleasing God without faith is mission impossible. Title of the message is the same as last week. Faith makes the mission possible, part 2. All right? So, talking about faith. I'm not talking about that faith that is hyper and not right and abusive. I'm not talking about extremes outside the guidelines of God's Word. I'm not talking about that faith that says if you'll send me money, you'll get more money. I'm not talking about that faith that says if you had more faith, you wouldn't be sick. If you had more faith, you'd have more money. If you had more faith, you wouldn't have got fired. If you had more faith, you wouldn't have any problems. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about a belief in God. Faith in its simplest form is a belief in God. Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. We don't see God. We don't see Jesus. We don't see heaven. But faith is the conviction of the reality of those things that we don't see. Faith deals with an unseen reality, so to walk by faith, how many of y'all think it's important to walk by faith because faith pleases God? To walk by faith is to live life with the unseen reality in mind. As we go through life, in other words, we're not just going to church to honor the unseen reality. We live life on Monday aware of the unseen reality. We go through the week with a conscience of the unseen reality that God is real. Let's go back to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But then it goes on and says this. Because anyone who comes to Him must, two things, believe that He exists and that He rewards those that seek Him. So two things in there connected to faith. Number one, faith says God is real. And number two, faith says God is good because He rewards. God is generous. He is a giver. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. God's not looking to hurt you. God's looking to bless you. So God is good. So faith says God is and that God is good. Faith is the conviction that God is real, God is good, and so it's not just believing in God, it's what you believe about God. Faith says that He is and that He is good. And whenever things are going well in your life, it's easy to amen that. But some of us, most of us, have been through challenges strong enough to make you question at least His goodness or maybe even His existence. We've said things in our hysteria. We've said things in our emotions. But when we get down to it and we tap into that root of faith in our spirit, something in us that says no matter what kind of bad is going on around us, something says God is still there and God is still good. The third thing about faith, Hebrews 11:6 reveals two things. God is and He is good. But there is a third thing. James 2:17 says faith without works is dead. Another version uses the word action, that faith is alive and has an action associated with it. Faith is an action word. So the third thing about faith is faith has an expression of some sort. Faith has a demonstration. Without a demonstration, faith is dead. Without an action to support it, faith is dead. And so if you have no works, faith is dead. So real faith produces works, but just doing some good things doesn't produce faith. Faith comes from Him, and then faith results in works, a demonstration. So three things about faith. Faith says God is real. Faith says God is good. But then the third thing, faith has a demonstration. In other words, what is going on in your life right now? What are some of your behaviors? What are some of the things that you do that demonstrate the other two things? God is real and God is good. What are you doing that says that? Well, for most of you, the fact that you came to church because God is real. Now, there may be some that's come to church to check it out to see if maybe God is real. They're seeking, and that's good. It's a good place to go is church to find out if God is real. But most people come to church on a regular basis because they already believe He's real. And the reason you're worshiping, you believe He's good. So there's part of your demonstration. But what else are you doing Monday through Saturday? Outside of Sunday, what are you doing to demonstrate that God is good and God is real? And so we went to Hebrews chapter 11, known as the faith chapter. It tells us what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But then the very next verse, it says the elders, those that have passed on before us, by faith they obtained a good testimony. They gained approval. They pleased God. Without faith, you don't please God. But with faith, you can please God. And this list of people, a lot of people have called them, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the heroes of faith. Maybe you're sitting here and you think, man, the heroes of faith. I wish I could be a hero of faith. Maybe you are. Maybe you are a hero of faith. We tend to view heroes as superhuman, and they never lose. They always win. And the hero is the one doing the rescuing, and you're sitting there feeling like maybe you need to be rescued, so you need a hero to come along. And I'm going to suggest to you today that because you're still in there after all you've gone through, maybe you are also a hero of faith. You're hanging in there despite all of the bad that's come against you, despite all the challenges and the storms you've gone through. Something in you is saying, I still believe God is, and I still declare that God is good. In my book, that is a hero of faith right there. We kind of think of heroes as the one they win and they get up and they're unblemished and no scars and no dirt and no blood. I'm a hero. No, I think the heroes might be the one that are laying on the ground with just a little bit of breath in them. And with that little bit of breath, they're going, God is still good. And I still trust in Him. So Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, gives us a list of people that have expressed their faith in God. And you can go and read their stories in the Bible, and you'll find out that they all demonstrated faith. They believed in God. They believed He was good, and they did something that supported that. And when you read through Hebrews 11, it starts off, each verse says, by faith, somebody did this. By faith, somebody else did this. So by faith, someone did something. And last week, we looked at three. Just real quickly, here we looked at, in verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch. Enoch was taken away. Remember that? So here's what we told you about Enoch. Faith is living in constant connection with God, even when you can't sense Him or feel Him. Whenever you don't even think He's there, you don't feel Him there, you don't sense His presence, you feel all alone, faith says, I'm still connected to Him, and you still pray to Him, you still talk to Him. Faith says constant connection matters. And so I gave you a statement for each one of these as well. And the statement for this one was the purpose of your relationship with God is 24/7 and not just heaven. God didn't save you just so He could rescue you and take you to heaven. That's good. But God wants to journey with you right now down here. God wants to live life with you right here and do something great in you and through you right here. Enoch's life shows us that. In verse 4, we looked at Abel. By faith, Abel did something as well. And what we gave you with that is Abel shows us that faith is giving our first and our best to God. And we looked at the story of Cain and Abel. Here's your take-home point for that one. God knows zirconia when He sees it. See, God knows if you're holding back. As ministers, when it comes to being a servant for God, we ought to give God our best. We can shortcut a lot of things, especially as we learn things. We learn how to shortcut some things. But we don't need to shortcut ministry. We need to give our first and our best to God, right? And the statement already gave you the statement for that one. The next one we looked at in verse 7, by faith Noah did some things. I think we all know what Noah did. So Noah shows us that faith is preparing for Christ to come back today, even though there may be no signs or evidence to that effect. Take-home statement I gave you for that one was, don't wait for rain to start building an ark. If God speaks something to your heart, start preparing. So those were the three we looked at last week. Let's look at four more today. In verse 8, Hebrews 11 is where we're at. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of y'all like that? Just to go somewhere not knowing where you go. I'm not talking about let's get in the car and just drive around and see what we find. I'm not talking about that. I like to know where we're headed. God told Abraham to head out and didn't tell him where he was going. Just go west. They always go west, young man. Always go west. So he just headed out not knowing where he was going. So here's what Abraham shows us. Abraham shows us that faith is obeying God. Even though you may not know where he's leading you. Even though you may not understand it all. Even though you may not have all the answers. Faith is obeying God without all the answers. So here's your statement for this one. Put on the blindfold and trust and obey. For success in relationships, whether it be a husband, wife, parent, children, friends, and certainly your relationship with God, for a relationship to be successful, for a relationship to be strong, trust is an absolute must. You have to have trust. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, a lot of you have this one highlighted in your Bible. It's one of those verses that kind of jumps out early at you. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You know the rest? Yeah. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. You know what the translation of that is? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, even if you don't understand it, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's not logical, even if you can't figure it out, even if you don't have the answers, just trust in the Lord anyway, like Abraham. That's what Abraham shows us. Faith is obeying God even when you don't have the answers. See, I believe this. I believe most of the time God makes sense. But there are times God doesn't make sense. Right? I'm sure it didn't make a whole lot of sense to Noah to build a boat of that proportion, huge. And there's a flood. There's a what? There's never been a flood before. So God doesn't always make sense. But I don't want you to go to the extreme like I've seen some people. Everything's weird with them. Listen, God is not weird 24/7, but there are some unusual things in the arena of faith that God may call you to do. So on those moments, trust in the Lord with your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. What do you mean I should give this much to missions? But God, look at my checkbook. I only have this much. Trust in the Lord. Oh, there's the preacher going for the money. Doesn't affect my salary one bit. We trust in the unseen God. We live by faith, an unseen reality, awareness of that. Y'all have done this. I'm not going to illustrate it here. But you've done the trust test where somebody comes up and they face the other direction and they're not looking and then you're behind them, right? And then you just tell them to fall back and I'll catch you. Fall back. How many of y'all have done that? You know, even if you've done it before, it's a little bit challenging to do it again, especially depending who's standing behind you, right? Oh, really, you can trust me. Go ahead. You know, Charlie Brown in the football, right? You've seen that. But that's what that is. You don't see. You can't know, but yet you're going to trust. And that's what we do with God. We trust God. We trust in the unseen God. You don't have to know everything. God knows everything. You can't see everything you need to see. God sees around the corner. God sees the bigger picture. God sees things that you don't even know that exist. God sees things that are coming. So God may speak something to your heart that's around the corner, and you have no idea what's coming, and it makes no sense. I've told you this story before, but it just comes to mind as I'm talking. Andre Van Zyl has been with us a number of times. It's been a while, but a long time ago, he'd come from Africa, come to America as an evangelist, couldn't get any meetings. And he said the Lord spoke to him by a tent. Didn't make much sense, but he knew it was the Lord, so he bought a tent. And now he's calling people like he'd been doing, and he may mention, and by the way, I can bring my own tent if you want to do a tent revival. And the first guy he called said, oh, you got a tent? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and have revival in the month of whatever, and but don't bother bringing your tent. What'd you do in church? And it happened again and again and again. He never used the tent. He sold the tent without having ever set it up. He didn't understand why he was buying a tent. Listen, if God speaks something to your heart, it's probably for your good or for the good of someone else. So trust in him. He sees the big picture. Abraham teaches us that. Next one, verse 11. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age. How many of y'all want that kind of faith? No, thank you. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. So Sarah shows us that faith is receiving God's promise. Faith is receiving God's promise even when public opinion says no way. Can you imagine Sarah saying, I think I'm with child. No way. Faith is receiving God's promise. Public opinion may be against you. You may not get a lot of support on some things, but if God speaks something to your heart, go ahead and receive that, right? It's between you and God. So here's your take-home point for this one. Sometimes you have to believe it to see it. Sometimes you have to believe it to see it. We like to see it first, right? But sometimes it's the other way around. We want proof. Thomas was like that, right? Thomas wanted proof. And Jesus gave him the proof that he wanted. But sometimes you don't need the proof. Like Sarah, you just need to go ahead and receive that. So in the faith world, you often have to believe it first. Not everyone may shout with you. Not everyone may believe with you. Some may even scoff at you if you tell them the dream or the thing that God dropped in your heart. You got to go on and receive it anyway. Anybody, had anybody ever scoff at them? Or maybe you've been the one that scoffed at somebody? But let's be like Sarah, and if God puts something in you, know that you might have to go it alone. But if God put it in you, you're not alone. All right, let's go to the next one. Verses 24 through 26. Not going to read it all, but it's talking about Moses. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. Now get this. The reproach of Christ, he saw that as better than the luxury of Egypt. I would rather suffer with Jesus than prosper without him. Moses shows us that faith is living life in light of eternity and then allowing that focus to affect all of your decisions. So here's the take home for this one. Live for the then and the now. There's a then coming, right? Live for the then that's coming in the right now. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm young. I've got a lot to do, and I want to do some things for my own self, and I want to kind of follow the pattern of my friends, and then, you know, later I'll catch up with God on some things. God says, remember me in the days of your youth. And I will tell you this, if you'll remember him the days of your youth, your older age, your middle age will go better. It's not to your advantage to put God on hold for a season, and then I'll pick you up when I get around to it. I imagine God over there going, wow, thank you. I feel honored. Please come and get me soon. I'll be waiting right here. Live for the then and the now. Too many people today live life totally unaware of eternity. How often through the day, it's just rhetorical, you don't got to answer, but how often through the day do you think of eternity? I'll be honest, I'm fairly eternity conscious. It goes through my mind a lot. I think of God. Every day, not just Sundays. I'm not walking along going, oh, wow, there's a God, I forgot. But there are people who don't really, they're not God conscious until Sunday, and we're singing about God, talking about God, so now we're conscious about God, but then Monday we forget about God. It's kind of like our kids. If you have kids, you don't forget that you have kids. You don't wake up one morning doing all your stuff, and then a kid walks, oh, wow, I forgot. I've got a kid. You scared me. Forgot about you. Now, I mean, we've left them at the park a time or two. I mean, I'm not talking about that. Can I see the hands of all of you at home? Raise your hand if this is you. You left your kid at a park, at church. You forgot to pick them up at school. You left your kid. Hands up. Hands up. Hold them up. Hold them up. I just want to see who all the sinners are. Hold them up. Yeah, right here. Yes, Teresa and I are guilty. I know we left Addison. Did we leave Braden too? Is he bitter? Are you bitter? We don't forget that we have kids. I don't forget that I'm married. I'm not like out riding around and pulling, I'm going to get some lunch. No, I think I better call Teresa, see if she has some lunch planned. Now, some of you guys have forgotten and gotten in trouble. Come home and she's got supper on the table. Hey, you ready to eat? Nope, I had a big Whataburger on the way here. Oh, okay, good. No, that ain't the way it's going to go down. You don't forget that you're married. You don't forget. Don't forget that you have God either, right? God exists. God is real, and he exists on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He exists every day of the week. And so we live in light of eternity. There is a then coming, but we live now with then in mind. Now may seem long, but then is longer than now. Now may seem good, but then is better than now. No matter how good now gets, it will pale to then. And no matter how long now may seem, it's a brief moment compared to eternity. So live life in light of eternity. Live for the then. Decisions made in light of eternity are better decisions. A lot of people just make decisions without thinking ahead. I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about thinking way ahead. But some people don't even think about tomorrow. Just make decisions. Don't get married without eternity in your mind. Don't just move here and do this and do that. Think and make decisions in light of eternity. Those are better decisions. A lot of the suffering that people deal with now is due to bad decisions that they made without eternity in mind. Many choose the easier way instead of the right way. They choose the fun way. They choose the money way. Choose the right way. Make decisions in light of eternity. Think in light of eternity. Let's go to the next one, verse 27. This is also Moses. We're going to use Moses twice. He's in the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith twice. It says, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, get this, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was living with a conviction of the unseen reality. He lived by seeing God who is invisible. Moses was looking at an invisible God. That's what we got to do. Moses shows us that faith has a loyalty to God and doesn't back down in the face of opposition. He left, forsaking the wrath, not fearing the wrath. He left because of the invisible God. So Moses shows us that faith has a loyalty to God and doesn't back down in the face of opposition. Church, let me just say something here, and I don't want to go too far into this. But when it comes to faith, we haven't had a lot of opposition in America. We do now. It will increase. Well, wait a minute, the election's not over. Regardless, it will increase. The election may affect the timing of things, and I'm all for some more time. But I'm telling you that there has been opposition to faith in America as of late. Well, they shut down the church for the virus. Yes, that was how it was in the beginning. Church, stay close to Jesus. Moses shows us that faith has a loyalty to God. Here's the take-home point for this one. Be a God-pleaser, not a man-pleaser. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But because of your faith, you won't always please men. Not everybody's going to celebrate your faith. Not everybody's going to be giving you a round of applause for your faith. Be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. You've heard this old adage. When it comes to pleasing people, you can please some of the people all of the time. You can please all of the people some of the time. But you can't please all of the people all of the time. We know that. When it comes to pleasing God, you can't always please both God and man. Now just stop on that for just a moment. There are times when you can please both God and man. Those are easy times. But when it comes down to a decision, if I please God here, it's not going to please Him. Now you're challenged. Now you get to decide, am I going to be a God pleaser or am I going to be a man pleaser? Peter and the apostles were out sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus, preaching the good news. Were they pleasing God? Yes. Were they pleasing men? Some. But some were upset. Some officials, some that were in authority, didn't like it, and they were arrested, and they were told, do not teach about Jesus anymore. Now we have an option. What am I going to do with that statement right there? And this is what they said. It's better that we should obey God than man. That's the response whenever God's law collides with man's law and a decision has to be made. You choose the higher law, which is God's law, right? Daniel was told not to pray. He ended up in a lion's den. The three Hebrew children were told to bow to a false idol. And they chose to please God instead of man, and they ended up in a fiery furnace. Now, how many of you want to end up in a fiery furnace? Not me. How many of you want to end up in a lion's den? Not me. But look at the rest of the story. Daniel was cast into the lion's den, but did you know that the lion fasted and prayed all night? The lion went on a fast, and Daniel survived. How many want the miracle? How many want the lion's den? Whoa, wait a minute. They went together. Y'all remember the story of the three Hebrew children being cast into the fire? They didn't burn up, but the other men that threw them in did burn up. And then the king looks down there and says, I see a fourth man. Looks like Jesus walking with them. How do y'all want Jesus walking with you in the fire? Yep. But how many want to go to the fire? Nope. Listen, I'm not asking for the lion's den. I'm not asking for the fire. But I want to try to live my life in a way that pleases God. And should opposition come, let the miracle come. That's what I'm praying for. We don't have to figure it all out. Just try to please God. Because without faith, you don't please God. And so faith says God is, and God is good. And then faith has a demonstration. And part of the demonstration is that faith is loyal to God in the face of opposition. In church, we are moving more and more into a day where the church is told what it can do and what it can't do. And there's a lot of arguing back there. Well, the Constitution says, and I embrace the Constitution, but there's another document even higher than the Constitution that we can lean on, church. And that's God's Word. Amen? Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months in the Nile River. You know the story, most of you. It says there, though, that his parents, they were not afraid. His mom was not afraid of the king's command. And now Moses grows up and he's not afraid of the wrath of the king. He had good examples to learn from. Had the parent of Moses not stood up against ungodly authority, Moses wouldn't have been born. Church, I'm not for rebelling against authority. I'm just for pleasing God. And let's just let that take us where it takes us. I like it when we can please God and please man. Nobody has a problem with us worshiping in America. That's the way it used to be. Some do now have a problem with that. But you know, church, all over the globe, there have been underground churches. There have been those that have been pleasing God without the approval of men. So this is not a new thing. It's just new to us. Two more that I want to share with you. I've got a few heroes of the faith. You won't find them in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to mention them before we wrap up and set our goals. One is Cheney and Jessica Phillips. Sharon, are you here today? I don't see Sharon. She's probably watching. I hope she is. Hello, Sharon. Cheney is her son. He married Jessica, his high school sweetheart. They were called to missions. I'm giving you a very abbreviated version of their story. But their second little girl, Brooke Phillips, was diagnosed with leukemia at the age of 2, 2 and a half. Went through all the stuff that you go through. Went into remission. We celebrated. Went into relapse. We prayed. I've been in that hospital on the ninth floor of Texas Children's many times with them. I've seen the room coated with scripture. Listen, these are not just, Cheney and Jessica are just not people who decided to follow God when they had a problem. I'm not saying, it's a good time to turn to God when you have a problem. These are quality people who were following God with all of their heart before they ever had a problem. Cheney served as a deacon here at our church. They served on my youth team many years ago, and they were going to missions, and everything was wonderful. Then they got the phone call, bring your daughter to the hospital. So on the way to receiving a missions call is when the battle started. There's nobody that could have done it better. But the prayer wasn't answered the way that we wanted it to be answered, and little Brookie went to be with Jesus. When we talk about Big Love Cancer Care, that's one of the seven targets on that paper that you took home. That's who we're talking about. Big Love Cancer Care was birthed out of this tragedy, out of the loss of their little girl, Brooke. And now they're in like 6 or 7 hospitals, and they minister to families who are going through what they went through. It's months of hospital time. The journey was 2 years plus. And then after she's gone, the suffering lingers, continues. Some things you don't get over. You get through. I used to say that. You just get through it. But some things you don't even get through that well. You just carry something with you as you journey, knowing that there's an unseen reality that awaits you. And see, whenever you go through stuff like that, you get a lot of advice. You get a lot of counsel. You get a lot of scripture. You get a lot of prayer. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do those things, but I do think we should be spirit-led on those things. I think we need to be slow to go grab the very first verse and throw that at them, because probably, because they're seasoned folks, they're already aware of that verse. I think the best thing we can do is pray and then let the Spirit lead, because if not, you're liable to say something like this right here. Well, if you had enough faith, your little girl would get healed. Did somebody say that, Pastor? Pretty close. So now I deal with the loss of my girl, and I deal with the pain of being accused of not having enough faith. I told you at the beginning of this message, faith makes the mission possible. That's not the faith I'm talking about. The kind of faith I'm talking about is when the prayer doesn't get answered the way you want it to get answered, and you come through it, and you say still, God is real, and God is good, and the faith that I'm going to use to demonstrate those two realities, we're going to found an organization ministry called Big Love Cancer Care, and we're going to help other people in their journey, and along the way, we're going to lead others to the Jesus that helped us through ours. That's faith. And that's why they're a hero of mine. And I told you last week, there were some of you I wanted to call out because I know some of your stories here, and I could tell your story, and I could tell you that you're here, but I don't like to do that without permission, so I'm picking on some people that aren't here. But Cheney and Jessica, you guys are heroes of mine. I was in the middle of a battle with them, very close to all that they were going through. It was not an easy battle at all. We prayed with all the faith we knew how to pray with. Anointed with oil, fasted, lay hands, sing over, name it, we did it. And yet, Brookie's in heaven. So you can conclude, well, if that happens to me, I'll just have more faith. Or you can conclude, that some things you're not going to have a good answer for. And the best thing you can do is just hold on to the truth that God is and God is good. Even though what happened to me right now doesn't seem good, doesn't feel good, isn't good at all, I trust in the unseen reality and I have a conviction that God is and God is good and we're going to do something. Another hero of mine, he's been on this platform many times. He was here not too long ago, and Teresa and I missed him, but Dave Reaver. Dave Reaver is, I believe, 70-something years old now. He's traveling all over the globe still. I don't want to be behind him on Judgment Day when the Lord tells Dave Reaver, well done. Now, Hammonds, what'd you do? Man, I don't know. We all do what we're called to do, right? I say that in a lighthearted way. I'm just trying to tell you that Dave Reaver is all over the globe preaching the gospel. Dave Reaver, as a young man, had just got married, left his young bride, went off to Vietnam. A phosphorus grenade, he was about to launch it to clear out some brush, going to burn the brush out of the way to reveal the enemy. But before he could release that grenade, a sniper hit that grenade. I don't know if they was aiming for his head, but they hit that grenade, and 60% of his flesh melted to the ground. He was on fire. He jumped in the water. He continued to burn because phosphorus burns underwater. They finally get a stretcher there and a chopper. They put him on the stretcher. They're hauling him to the chopper. His body is so hot, he burns through the stretcher and falls to the ground. Dave Reaver gave his life to the Lord, if I remember right, at the Kerrville Youth Camp that we send our kids to. Dave Reaver served God as a young man. He was a Christian when he got married. He was a Christian when he enlisted. And then he had this happen to him. He has gone on for 50 years now, 60 surgeries. And he still proclaims that God is and God is good. That is faith. I remember the story. I looked for it up in the book upstairs, and I could not find it. I was just thumbing through the pages trying. I wanted to read you his words. I'll just have to do it from memory. But I've read his autobiography, and I remember when he was young, and he had lost an eye, fake eye, fake hair, and there was just skin peeled across, just grafted over his one side of his face. And it was the first time he got to see himself in a mirror. He didn't like what he saw. But he grew up in church. He grew up in a Pentecostal church, a Spirit-filled church, a church that believes in confessing, a church that believes in healing. We believe that. And he just said, I'm going to pray this off of me. He said he stood in front of a mirror, closed his eye, and prayed with every bit of faith he knew how to pray with. He said, I felt it, and I just knew that when I opened my eye, I was going to be normal. I just knew it. Have you ever prayed something and believed something so strong that you just knew it? Me too. Have you ever prayed something so strong and just knew it, and then it wasn't? Yeah, me too. He opened his eye. Nothing was different. Nothing was different. That'd be a good time right there to just say, God, he ain't even real. He doesn't answer prayers. He's not good. I've been serving him all my life, and he does that to me. I mean, if he didn't cause it, he could have stopped it. How many of y'all know God could have stopped it? So why didn't he? I don't have those answers for you. But I know that many years later, Dave Reaver looked back, and he said, you know what? I can rest in this now, knowing what God has done. And what God continues to do. Some would say if he had real faith, his face would have been made right. I would say this, he has real faith because of all that he's been through. He continues to declare that God is and God is good. That's what faith is. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. It's not having the kind of faith where everything works out. It's having faith when everything doesn't work out. It's not about a faith that turns your bad into good. It's about a faith that in spite of bad believes God is still good. It's not about a faith that fixes everything that's broken. It's about a faith that keeps going when things remain broken. Faith is hanging in there and saying, God, I still believe. I believe you are, and I believe you're good. You're for me. God, you're on my side, no matter what I face. In church, I'm just telling you, it's easy to preach when things are going well. But is it still true when things are not going well? Faith says, yes, it is. How many of you could raise your hands? And you're not just saying it from your head, but you're saying it from who you are in the deepest part of you. I believe God is, and God is good. Can I see your hands? That's awesome. You can put them down. I didn't take a close look, but if you're here or if you're watching and you are not able to raise your hand, I want to pray for you. And maybe it's because you haven't received Jesus yet and you need to do that. Or maybe you have and you're going through something huge. You're in the middle of the toughest fight of your life. And you're just being honest with yourself. And you want to believe that God is good, but there's a resistance. I'm not faulting you. I'm not faulting you. I'm praying for you that God get you through to the other side where you can look back and see that he never left you, he never forsook you. You may have a scar with you now. Dave Reaver talks about it often. He said, I live with scars on the outside, but a lot of people live with scars on the inside. Some of you, you've got some internal scars. I want you to know that God loves you and God is for you. And you can question God, but you're probably not going to get a good answer. Just know this, we live in a broken world, and there is an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you need to blame somebody, blame the enemy. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, for everyone here, I lift them up to you in Jesus' name, but especially for those that are in the middle of the fire, in the middle of the fight of their life, a battle. Maybe it's depression, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's disease, maybe it's a great loss. Whatever it is, Father, you're their answer, and I pray that you would bring them through. Just as you delivered Daniel in the lion's den, just as you delivered the three from the fiery furnace, Father, deliver them from their stuff. Let them see, not only are you real, you are still good, and you are still for them, and you're going to work things for their good. You're going to bring them through in Jesus' name. How many of you could raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I am in the middle of a battle right now. I'm in the middle of a battle right now. Yes. God, I pray for everyone in Jesus' name that has that hand up. For those of you watching, you're in the middle of a battle right now. Know that God is for you. Don't run from him. Run to him. Let him help you. He's a present help in times of trouble. Father, help them in Jesus' name. One last thing. If you're here today, you've never said yes to Jesus. You're watching online. You've never said yes to Jesus. And today you want to say yes to the one who died for your sin. Would you hold your hand up? I want to pray for you. And if you're watching and that is you, would you please send us a message and let us know of your decision to follow after Jesus so that we can get with you and put some things in your hand to help you in your journey? Father, right now I pray for anyone here or watching that may not know you. I pray that you reveal yourself to them and that they have the revelation of the reality of Jesus, that they receive him as their Savior, the forgiver of their sin, that they be born again into the kingdom of God. I pray it in Jesus' name. The church says amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give Jesus a good hand clap.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may his peace be yours today.